These are very difficult moments that we're going through. The songs that Reb Shlomo chose were perfect. Achenu kol beis Yisrael hanesunim batzaru v'ashivya. Klal Yisrael, at this present moment, if you think about it, we might be separated by an ocean and by 6,000 miles, but Klal Yisrael right now is going through a tremendous tzara with dozens of people that were nifter at Meron and hundreds of people that were injured. And we tend to look at this as just numbers and statistics, and we try to find out what caused it. But each of these people have families. Each of these people that were nifter, that were injured, have wives, children, parents, siblings, friends that are deeply, deeply thrown into an avelos. On a most happy day of the calendar, on the Yayma de Hilula, Reb Shimon bar Yochai, for it to be nepach le'evel, for it to flip so suddenly into a day of national mourning, is something that we really have to consider and understand and try to take in with whatever we can. Rabbi Akiva said, "V'ahavta l'reacha kamecha." That you have to love your friend like yourself. That's not Rabbi Akiva, that's the Torah. But Rabbi Akiva added to this, and Rashi brings it in Parshas Kedoshim on that pasuk. Amar Rabbi Akiva, ze klal gadol b'Torah. This is a great rule. This is a major fundamental principle in the Torah, says Rabbi Akiva, as if to underscore the importance of this mitzvah, v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. How do you accomplish this impossible mitzvah, v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha? So I want to tell you two pshatim. One was not in the script for tonight, and one was. The one that was not in the script for tonight, but became part of the script, was this. How do you do v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha? How do you ever love your friend like you would yourself? So there's a taisis in Menachos, fascinating taisis on Lamed Zayin, that brings a story of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was the Chacham Mikol Adam. He was the smartest man. And we know of a few of the incidents with Shlomo HaMelech. There are many stories scattered throughout Shas and Medrashim about the brilliance of Shlomo HaMelech. Listen to this story. There was a father who had seven sons. And the seventh son was born with two heads. It was a set of conjoined twins. They were joined together, but not side by side, but they had one body and two heads. And apparently this person, twin, was able to communicate. And when his father died, he wanted double Yerusha. He said, "I'm two people, two heads, two people. I want two chalakim of Yerusha. I want two portions of Yerusha." They brought the case to Shlomo HaMelech. So what Shlomo HaMelech did was he covered the head of one of the twins. He put a cloth over the head of one of the two twins. And then he took scalding hot water and he poured it over the other head, unbeknownst to the head that was now covered. And both heads screamed out in pain. They both screamed out in pain because they could feel, they both felt, not only the one on which the water was, but also the one that the water was not on. And when Shlomo HaMelech did this experiment and saw that both heads were in pain, he ruled that this is not two separate human beings, this is one person. Because if one head cries out in pain over the other head's actual tsar, that's a sign, that's proof positive that there's one person here, not two. And he failed to award this person more than one chelek of the Yerusha. What do we take from this medrash? What do we take from this taisis? What we take from this taisis is that if Klal Yisrael is really one, if we're ki'ish echad b'lev echad, if we really are one people united, then we would feel each other's pain. And when a yid across the waters is having a tzara, and if 40 people are having tzaras, and if 140 people are having tzaras, as we speak, one of the greatest tragedies in the history of the modern state of Israel, right tonight, as we're talking, there are children that are finding out the news right now that they will not have a father to tuck them into bed and say Kriya Shema with them. They will not have a father to walk home from shul with the Shabbos. They will not have a father to walk them down a chuppah in a week. We don't know the stories that are going to emerge. But if you stop and think about any of these things, and we feel pain for them, obviously we don't even know their names, we haven't seen their faces, but if we are able to feel that a brother of mine is going through such pain, and I can scream and I can cry over that pain, that means that I am one with that person. The ahavta l'reacha kamecha pshuta kemashmai is that I could love you like I love myself if I could feel your pain. If I feel your pain, that means that I'm you and you're me. If I don't feel your pain, if I just decide to, you know, to pretend that it didn't happen and to write it off as some, you know, freak accident and probably Charedim, probably this, probably that, probably Hasidim, they shouldn't have gone. If we start doing that, if we start playing that game, then we are not able to mekayim the mitzvah of ahavta l'recha kamecha. The ahavta l'recha kamecha means that when you're in pain, I'm in pain. That's the new uptight of ahavta l'recha kamecha for this evening, for this Lag B'Omer. And now let me tell you the scripted pshat in what it means, v'ahavta l'recha kamecha. How could we do this? How is it possible for me to love somebody else like I love myself? That's a question that didn't bother me. It bothered the likes of the Ramban. The greatest Rishainim, the greatest Achrainim, have been struggling with this since this pasuk has been given to Klal Yisrael. There's been a struggle, an epic challenge to try to unlock this mystery of how the Torah can expect us to love somebody else like I love myself. I love myself. I have an innate love for myself. We all do. But how can I extend that love to you? How does that happen? How does that work? So Rabbi Akiva says, Zeh klal gadol b'Taira. This is a great principle in the Torah. Now, very difficult to understand what Rabbi Akiva means. And this is a great principle and not other principle. There's a lot of principles in the Torah. But what is exactly, what's he trying to tell us, Zeh klal gadol b'Taira? Every mitzvah in the Torah is a klal gadol. Is tefillin not a klal gadol? Is mezuzah not a klal gadol? Is pidgin haben not a klal gadol? Is zrikas adam not a klal gadol? What's not? Give me a something in the Torah that's not a klal gadol. So the Iker Sifsei Chacham says on this Rashi when he brings it, he says this is a klal gadol by bein adam l'chaveri. When we deal with each other as friends, as colleagues, as roommates, as brothers, the main klal in the Torah is v'ahavta l'recha kamecha. The aleph beis of interpersonal relationships is you have to learn how to love somebody else like you love yourself. Now, if somebody tells me that this is the klal gadol by bein adam l'chaveira, what I immediately start to think is, okay, so what's the klal gadol by Bein Adam Lamakim. If the Klal Gadol by Bein Adam L'Chaver is V'Ahavta L'Rechah Kameicha, that must be that there is a main foundational mitzvah or concept by Bein Adam Lamakim. When I treat my relationship with the Rabbeinu Shlam, there must also be a similar Klal Gadol Batayra. And I was thinking, what is the Klal Gadol Batayra when it comes to Bein Adam Lamakim? And I think if we could figure that out, then we'll be able to use that key to unlock the mystery of Yahavta L'Reacha Kameicha. So I was thinking, there is a place that says about a mitzvah Bein Adam Lamakim that it's a Klal Gadol Batayra. Does anyone think of what I'm talking about? Okay, so let me share it with you. I was hoping that nobody would. The very first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, the very first words of the Ramah, Ramesha Isserlish, who wrote the Haggah, the Mappa on Shulchan Aruch, at the beginning of Aruch Hayim, when the Mechaber starts and says that a person has to be Miskaber Kari, person has to strengthen himself like a lion to wake up in the morning. The very first halacha on Shulchan Aruch. It's interesting. Rabbi Elia Lapian, when he became a very old man, he was one of the tzaddikim, one of the ga'inim of Eretz Yisrael, and when he was in his 90s, he had a bacher that slept in the same room as him, that would serve him, that would take care of his needs. And Rabbi Elia Lapian says to this bacher, I want you to start waking me up a half an hour earlier than normal. So he says, Rebbe, you're getting older. You should be getting up later, not earlier. You know, all the doctors and the PAs, they're telling me to let you sleep later. You want to wake up earlier? What's pshat? He says, I don't have that many days left to live. I'm in my 90s. I don't feel so well. I'm not in a good state of health. I'm about to go up to Shamayim. And in Shamayim, they're going to ask me, they're going to give me a test, a bechina, a faher. And where are they going to start the faher from? From the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. They're going to go simon by simon. And the very first simon is that you should wake up in the morning like a lion, early, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, you know, on tests, you like to at least get the first couple of answers right. Because then the teacher probably thinks you're a whiz, and maybe he's not going to be so machmer. You know, once the machine is on, once the teacher's already giving checks, he's already maybe, you know, he says, I don't want to mess up the first question. The Rebbe Shlom's going to ask me, Nu, did you wake up early in the morning? I want to at least get that answer right when I go up to Shemayim. So that's why I want you to wake me up earlier. So that's the first mechaber. It's an important mechaber. No, the very first mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. Jumps in the Ramah. The Ramah always gives his glosses on the mechaber, on the Shulchan Aruch. Listen to this Ramah. And the Ramah, and this is very important, is quoting a Rambam. Where is the Rambam? The Rambam is in Sefer Meira Nevuchim, the Guide to the Perplexed. One of the major philosophical works, the Rambam's classic, Meira Nevuchim. And this is what the Ramah quotes the Rambam as saying. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid. You must put Hashem in front of you at all times. Place Hashem right before your eyes. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, Tezayin. Hu klal gadol batayra. The Ramah, quoting the Rambam, says, and we underline these words, it's a klal gadol batayra. Very exactly the same words as Rabbi Akiva used by V'Ahavta L'Reacha Kameicha. That was the Klal Gadol Batayra of Bein Adam L'Chaveira. I think this is the Klal Gadol Batayra of the Bein Adam L'Amakim. What is the Klal Gadol Batayra? Uva Malas HaTzadikim HaShalechim L'Fnei Elokim, and the Maila of Tzadikim who walk before Hashem. And he says that when a person sits and does his things alone in the house, it's not the same as when one sits and does his things when he's standing or when he's sitting before a great melech. If you know that you're in the presence of a melech, you act differently. You act differently. the way that you talk, the way that you act, the way that you behave is way different than when you're not in front of a king. And he says, certainly when a person thinks in his heart that the Melech HaGadol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asher Molei Kol Haaretz Kevodoy Oimed Alav V'Ro'eh B'Ma'aseiv, if a person would have this picture in front of his face every single minute, Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Sama, there's God. God is always here. He's here in the Beis Medrash. He's here in the dining room. He's here in the dormitories. He's here in the apartments. He's here in our car. Wherever we are, there's a Rabbeinu Shalom. If a person will be able to understand this, this Klal Gadol Bater, that wherever I am, I'm always in front of a Melech, it will be a different world. Imagine if for a second, tonight, your roommate is Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky is sleeping in the bed right next to yours. How are you going to act? We're not going to watch any movies tonight. We're not going to surf the internet. We're not going to watch YouTube. We're not going to check the news. We're not going to check sports. We're not going to check Vasis Nayis. We're probably going to say Kriya Shema Lamita like we never did before, like in the Ila. We're gonna mamish get dressed Nias tomorrow morning. We're going to wash Nagel Vasa like, you know, like a Kain Gadol on Yom Kippurim. Because Reb Chaim Kanievsky is in the room. I have to step up my game a little bit. Now, substitute Reb Chaim Kanievsky with the Rabbeinu Shleilam. If we would be able to understand that the Rabbeinu Shleilam is in our room, we wouldn't do any of those things either. So why do we do those things? We all know on a certain level that there's a Rabbeinu Shlom in the room, that the Melech is in front of us, so why are we doing these things? The answer is that we know it, but we don't really feel it. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I could shake his hand, he's here. But the challenge with the Rabbeinu Shlom, and he did this by design, is that he's invisible. And when something is invisible, the mind can play tricks and can imagine that he's not really here. Says the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim, quoted by the Ramah, the very first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid, Hu Klal Gadol Batayra. This is the Klal Gadol. But you want to know how to deal with the Rabbeinu Shleilam? The way you deal with the Rabbeinu Shleilam is imagine at all times that there is a king that's in front of me, constantly, day and night, Shabbos and Yontif, Yom Kippur and a regular Thursday. Every single minute of the day, there is a Rabbeinu Shalom here. If I would know that and I would believe it and I would see it with my eyes, if I could visualize it, I would not sin. I would not do anything. You know, the Bir Hagra in Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon has a commentary, a very short, terse commentary, it's Kedarka, like he always does. You know what he writes on this when it says, Hu Klal Gadol Batayra Uvamailas HaTzadikim, this is among the milas, the advantages that tzaddikim has, the Gra adds one word, Hu Kol Milas HaTzadikim. The entire mila of a tzaddik. Why is somebody a tzaddik and another person not? Because the tzaddik is aware of this Ramah. A tzaddik lives their life every single minute with a cognizance that there's a Rabbeinu Shlom in front of us, that there's a king that stands before us. And when there's a king that stands before us, we're different. We don't act the same when there's a king that's standing before us as when we imagine that there's no king in front of us. This, says the Ramah, quoting the Rambam, is the Klal Gadol Batayra, but it's not Be'ad L'chaveray. This is the Klal Gadol Batayra between us and God. So if this is the understanding of the Klal Gadol Batayra, Bein Adam LaMakim, what I'd like to suggest to you tonight is that the Klal Gadol Batayra that Rabbi Akiva tells us is the great rule, Bein Adam L'Chaveray, of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. I think we understand maybe a little better how to be Mekayim that. How do I do it? How do I love you like I love myself? You know how? I imagine that you're not a regular guy. the reason why sometimes I tend to not treat you like my equal, to not love you like I love myself, is because in my mind, when I see you, I figure out your chesroinus and I say, aha, I'm better than him. We all do this, by the way. I might be better than you in learning. I might be better than you in davening. I might be better than you in business. I might be better than you in sports. But whatever it is that I have over you, my mind immediately factors that into the relationship and allows me to feel a sense of superiority over you. This is the way we operate. This is not me. This is not you. It's everybody. But if a person is able to look at another person as if he's superior to him, I look at you like a king. I want to anoint you as a melech over me. I want to make you great in my eyes. I want to lift you up. That's v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. That's the only way it's going to work. Only if I could find something that could make you a melech in my eyes. You know, the Vilna Gaon, he once went to the playground when he was a little kid, so legend has it. And he went on the seesaw. We all know what a seesaw is. You have two people, one sits on one side, the other sits on the other side, and they go up and they go down. He went on it once, and he never went on it again. And they asked him, why? Why are you not going on it again? He says, I never want to be able to lift myself up in order to push somebody else down. I should lift myself up on a seesaw so you should go down. No. I would, if the seesaw was just an instrument that I could push you up and keep myself down, and that was the whole thing, I would do that. Because I want to raise you. I want to elevate you. I want to be mamluch you. I want to make you better than me. That's how to be mekayem v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. That's the only way we'll be able to level this playing field. It's if I go to the nth degree and make you a melech, just like I have to look at the Rabbeinu Shlalem as a melech standing in front of me whenever I deal with anybody, and I don't care who it is. Always be able to look at that person with greatness. The Ramban writes in his famous Igeres that whenever you meet somebody, always make him better than you in your eyes. If he's richer than you, say, wow, he's richer than me. If he's poorer than you, say, wow, he gets more schar in Olam Haba because he's suffering. If he's smarter than you, he's smarter than you. If he's less smart than you, say, well, I'm going to be on the hook for so many averes because I know about them. And he's, you know, in ignorance is bliss. He doesn't know what he's doing right, wrong. And so he's going to go have a much easier time in din. You can always come up with a way to make somebody else better than you, to be mamluch somebody over you. That's how you're mekayem v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. You know, when I was trying to really perfect this pshat, I was working on this word kamecha. It always bothered me. What does it mean, kamecha? And I did like a search of all the times that it says in Tanakh the word kamecha. And you know what I found? Most of the time, like maybe 70-80% of the time, this word kamecha is mentioned in Tanakh. It's referring to kings. I'll give you one example that you might be familiar with, that Vayigash El of Yehuda, at the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, Yehuda says to Yosef, Ki kamecha kipare. You are like Paroi in my eyes. You're like a king. The word kamecha itself, Rabbi say, screams, kamecha, you are like a king to me. V'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. You are a king to me, and therefore I will love you because I see you as chashuv. I'm machshev you. I could love somebody if I really look up to them. If a person looks up to a parent, to a rebbe, to a gadol, to a tzaddik, you know, why do you love them so? Because you're machshev them. Wow, I have such a schus to have them in my life. Look at everybody that way. There's something that you could find about everybody that is not only very positive, but downright amazing. There is some kernel of greatness in every single person. You just have to look at that person in that light, and you'll find that there's some royalty, there's a monarchy there, there's aristocracy. You have to look carefully sometimes. I want to bring you a proof to what I'm saying. There's a sefer called Reishis Chachma. I'm not going to get into the sefer. It's a very, very scary sefer. It speaks about Gehenna. If you want to ever learn everything that you want about what happens in the next life, you could read Reishis Chachma. It's very, very graphic. Don't read it before you go to bed. And listen to one line. This is actually in a chapter called Chibat HaKever, which means like the pain that a person goes through after they're buried. But anyway, I digress. He says like this: Kisha Adam Magia Hashamaima. When a person reaches heaven, Shailim Aisai Shtei Shailas. There's two questions that are asked of this person. Two questions. What are those two questions? Himlachta Kainecha Shachris Va'arvis. Did you anoint your Creator, Hashem, every morning, Shachris and Arvis, meaning did you say Shema in the morning and at night? You made HaKadosh Baruch Hu your Melech, your Mekabel on yourself, O Malchus Shemayim, the yoke of heaven, of kingship? That's the first question. The second question, V'himlachta es chaveirecha benachas ruach. Did you anoint your friend? Did you make your friend a king, benachas ruach, pleasantly, treating him nicely, treating him like a mensch, treating him with great respect and awe and reverence that would befit a royal person? Did you treat your friend that way? Two questions that are asked. And these two questions are like those twin heads. They go together. They fit perfectly together with one another. Reb Chatzkel Levenstein used to say that these two questions are like the two luchais. We know the two luchais were one, ben adam l'chaveira, ben adam l'makim. These two questions are like the luchais. You have to be asked a question about ben adam l'chaveira and ben adam l'makim. If you could pass both tests, you're in. You know why? Because you have the two klal gadol batayras right here. You have the klal gadol of ben adam l'chaveray, the haftal reacha kamecha, meaning, did you make your friend a king? Did you see your friend? When you see your friend, do you see a king standing before you, somebody special? And then, of course, the ben adam l'makim, himlachta es kainecha, shivi se hashem l'negdi samid, did you put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of you at all times? You know, the Rambam is called the melech. You ever heard anyone referring to the Rambam as a melech, as a king? Svarim? If you look in many of the Noisei Kalim, as we call it, the commentators on the Rambam, it's fascinating, but a lot of them put the word melech into their title. For example, the Mishneh LeMelech. Mishneh LeMelech, the assistant to the king, because the Rambam was the king. There's a sefer called the Shar HaMelech. There is a sefer called Kiryas Melech. Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote a sefer on Rambam called Kiryas Melech. And there's many, many. If you would go and do a search in Hebrew books and just put the word Melech in, I would guess there is probably hundreds of svarim, and they're all written on the Rambam with the word Melech in the title, because the Rambam is considered to be the Melech. He is the king. He's the king. Why is he the king? He wasn't officially a king. I mean, he was the physician to the king of Egypt, to the Sultan. But why is he the king? And I think the reason why he's the king is because he taught us everything that we learned tonight. He was the one that taught us that the Ramah quoted, Shivi Seshem Negdi Samenu Klal Gadol Batayra, to put Hashem as your king in front of you. And I found today a Rambam speaking about V'ahavta L'reacha Kameicha, the Bein Adam L'chaveray Klal Gadol Batayra. Listen to what he says. The Rambam is in Hilchas Deis, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel. mitzvah kol adam lev es kol echad ve'echad miYisrael. There is a mitzvah for every man to love every yid, kegufay, like himself. That's ve'ahavta l'reicha kamaycha. Shenemar ve'ahavta l'reicha kamaycha. Lefichach, therefore, says the Rambam, tzarech l'saper b'shvachay. A person has to speak out the praise of your friend. Do you ever do that? Do you ever speak like really amazingly about anybody? Do you ever say, this guy's amazing in basketball when you're good in basketball? Do you ever say about somebody else then that they're good in basketball? Hard to do, because you think in your mind, well, if I tell people that he's great in basketball, people are going to make me, you know, it's going to make me look like I'm not as good as him in basketball. He's great in learning. What does that say about me? That says that I'm not so great in learning. Or I'm not as great as him. And I don't want to say that. He's really wealthy. Well, that means that I'm not as wealthy as him. So we find ourselves very stingy when it comes to praising other people. Says the Rambam, Lefichach chayav tzarech lesaper b'shvachai. You have to speak about other people's praises, meaning you have to treat him like a king. A king, you have no problem praising because he's the king. You don't view him as a competitor. So you say wonderful things about him. He's in a different league. I have to speak about you in amazingly glowing terms. V'lochus al memaynai, kasher huchas al mamen atzman, care about his loss of money like he'd care about his own loss of money. V'roitze b'chveid atzman, the same way that I want my own honor, I would project that on you. Meaning, the Rambam is telling us in two separate places. One is in Mar Nebuchim, one is in the Yad HaChazakah. But he's saying, both Klal Gadol Batayra, as he's speaking out, that you have to make Hashem your king, and Lahavdil, you have to make your friend your king. And when you're able to do that, then you have everything. Then you're Himlachtes, Kainei Shachris V'Arvis, and then you're Himlachtes, Chaveirecha B'Nachas Ruach. Then you get straight into Olam Haba because you have succeeded in the two pillars of Bin Adam Lamakim Adam Lachavera, the Klal Gadol Batayra. That's the Yisayit of the Rambam. We call the Rambam the Melech because he teaches us to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be Mamlech our friends. And that makes him a Din Melech. I want to tell you an amazing story. There was, in the old days, when I was growing up as a kid, very young boy, there was the standard Rambam, like the old Rambams on the shelf. Those are the Rambams that very few people touch anymore. Because now, you have the Frankel Rambam. The Frankel Rambam is like the very sleek, new, maroon Rambams. This Frankel Rambam was published in the 1970s it was started to be published, at least. It was a very long process until they completed it, which was only completed not too long ago. But it took many decades. And what this yid by the name of Shapsi Frankel, who was a wealthy man, he was a son-in-law of a great Rav, the Krakova Rav, and he dedicated his life to publishing a perfect edition of the Rambam. What does it mean, a perfect edition of the Rambam? What he did is absolutely incredible. If you ever have opened up a Frankel Rambam, you'll see the difference and you'll see how it glows. Every word in the Rambam, every letter in the Rambam, every kutzo shel yod, every little point of the Rambam, he perfected. He went back to ancient manuscripts of the Rambam, and he found every single change in Nusach, and he put that on the side. So the Rambam, in one edition, uses this word, and then he changes it to that word, and then a different place to that word. He'll mark that all down in the margins. And he made sure to get the greatest Talmidei Chachamim on his team to go through the Rambams, to go through the Nisei Kelim, to go through all of the everything to produce the most perfect Rambam. And the cherry on the cake is, if you turn to the back of every Frankel Rambam, there's called the Sefer HaMafteach. And the Sefer HaMafteach gives basically every single question and marimukim that anyone ever thought about when learning the Rambam. So if you're reading Rambam and you have a problem, like, why would the Rambam say this? Why didn't he say that? Or what does the Rambam mean? You turn to the back of the Franco Rambam, you look up, you know, that halacha, and you'll find that, you know, on this and this question, ayin v'chazinish, in this simon, ayin aviezri, in that simon, ayin chazinish, ayin the Shara Melech, the Mishnah Melech, Merkavis HaMishnah, Reb Chaim Brisker, whatever. He'll tell you everything that you need to know about every single line, every single word of the Rambam. It's a masterpiece. A masterpiece. And when he put out the Franco Rambam, it basically... It sort of torpedoed every other edition of the Rambam ever. I had a Rebbe that did not want to use the Frankel Rambam when it came out because he was already used to the Rambam, and he worked so hard on mastering the original Rambam that he knew the Tzuras Hadaf of every Rambam. He knew where, and Frankel Rambam changed the Tzuras Hadaf, and he just didn't feel comfortable using the Frankel Rambam. But that was the old generation of Jews, and now the new generation that's brought up on the Frankel Rambam, you can't use another Rambam. You just like it's. You just can't use another Rambam. Everything is in there. Everything is really is perfect. So, in the process of producing this masterpiece of the Frankel Rambam, this Reb Shapsi Frankel, who, by the way, the stipler told him that when you die, the Rambam and all the Nisei Keim on the Rambam are going to come and greet you in Gan Eden because of what you did. He spent millions and tens of millions of dollars producing this. Baruch Hashem, he was a wealthy man. He was capable of employing all these great Talmidei Chachamim. But that was only part of the expense. He would go to no end. He would stop at nothing. If he heard about a manuscript of the Rambam that's in Egypt, in some museum, he would try and try and try to get a hold of that manuscript, and he would offer to pay millions of dollars for it because it might be able to be important to shedding light on a difficult Rambam. So there was such manuscript in a museum in Cairo that was like one of the earliest manuscripts of the Rambam. I don't know if it was the Rambam's own handwriting, but it was a handwritten manuscript of the Rambam. Reb Shapsi Frankel heard about this, and he flew to Cairo. He went into the museum, and he said, "I need that copy of the Rambam. Can I have a photocopy?" "We don't make photocopies, sir." "Okay, that's fair. Would I be able to buy it off of you?" "It's not for sale. This is an ancient Egyptian treasure. We don't give away our heirlooms, our treasures in Egypt." He says, "How about for $1 million? Would you then consider?" "No, we can't be bought, sir." But Shapsi Frankel was not somebody that just said, fine. He didn't take no for an answer, and he would like call them and mutcher them until finally one day they cracked. They couldn't take it anymore. He said, "Listen, Rabbi, you come, we'll sell it to you. Just leave us alone already." So he went, brought a few $1 million with him for this manuscript. He got possession of it. And it was a tremendous simcha, as you can imagine, because he had one more manuscript to put into his Franco Rambam, to his masterpiece, to his legacy. Now, when he came home with this manuscript, there was a big Talmud Chacham that was there, that was working for him in his kailel. And, you know, they were very, very excited. They were, you know, so happy they finally got it. And now they were going to get to work on, like, really deciphering this manuscript and trying to figure out the chiddush that's contained therein. This person, this Talmud Chacham Muvok, who was sitting at the table together with Shapsi Frankel, and the manuscript, this $1 million manuscript, was sitting right here on the table. And this Talmud Chacham had a cup of coffee over here, and by accident, inadvertently, he tipped the cup of coffee, and it spilled all over the manuscript. And because the paper was so old and so frail, and the ink on it was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old, immediately the whole thing, the whole ksav, the whole manuscript, just disintegrated. The coffee just burned right through it. There was nothing left. Now, if you were Shapsi Frankel at this point, what would you do? You spent years of your life trying to get the manuscript. It's the only copy in the world. I spent millions of dollars on it, hundreds of man hours getting it, flying it here. And this shmagegi, this schlock, has to spill his soda all over, has to spill his coffee all over my manuscript. Shapsi Frankel got up and he walked into the other room. This time the Chacham was, oh my gosh, what did I just do? He's probably going to shecht me. He's probably going to kill me. He's probably so furious. He doesn't know what to do with me. He's going to take me to a din Torah. I don't know what to say. How am I going to go home tonight? How am I going to face my children? What's going to be with me? How am I going to be able to live? 2 minutes later, Shapsi Frankel comes back into the room holding a brand new cup of coffee. He says, you know, obviously, the Rabbeinu Shalom did not want this particular manuscript to be published. He didn't want it to see the light of day for some reason. Should have stayed in the museum in Egypt and stayed there forever. The Rabbeinu Shalom didn't want it. And so you happen to have been the shliach to spill coffee over it. He says, but one thing I know is that you don't have your cup of coffee now, so I made you another cup. Here it is. That's the pshat. Himlachtos chaveirecha benachas ruach. I'm mamluch you. I don't look at you as somebody inferior to me that I could berate and I could scream at and I could give you musr and teichacha and make you feel like 2 cents just because I can. The ahavta l'reacha kamecha zel klal gadol b'Torah. The Rambam says the pshat is Lev es kol echad v'echad miyisrael kegufa. I wouldn't do that to myself. Why would I do that to you? Lefichach tzarech l'saper b'shvach. I have to build you up. I have to let you feel elevated. You have to feel that I know how great you are. That's what my job is, klape you. V'roitza b'chvayt atzmai. The same way that I want respect, I want you to have respect. I want to be mamluch you as my melech. I'm going to bring you another cup of coffee because I respect you. I admire you. I know that it wasn't your fault. All this surrounds the Rambam. The Rambam is the melech that teaches us how to deal with the Rabbeinu Shalom as a melech before us, standing there every single minute of the day when we're in our dorm, when we're in the yeshiva, when we're on the road, when we're at work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always before us. Shivisi Hashem Negdi Slamet. He's a melech that's before us, like Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky is our roommate. He's our roommate. If you could chop that, if you're able to realize that every single, you'll be a tzaddik. That's kol ma'ilas ha-tzaddikim like the guy. That's the only thing that separates. The tzaddik is somebody that feels the Rabbi Hashem's presence every minute. That's a tzaddik ben adam la-makim. But the Rambam teaches us that a tzaddik ben adam l'chaveray is likewise somebody that's able to be mamluch another person. And that's why Shapsi Frankel, I believe, was the person that the Rabbeinu Shalom made as a shliach to publish the masterpiece manuscript, the masterpiece edition of the Rambam, because he was a person that got it. He didn't just build relationships between himself and the Rabbeinu Shalom. He wasn't just mamluch the Rabbeinu Shalom as a melech and wanting to spend his whole life bringing the Rambam's work to Klal Yisrael so that there could be Talmid Chachamim that are able to be mechadish more and more and make the Rabbeinu Shalom have more nachas. But Shapsi Frankel was also a person that was able to be mamluch es chaveir benachas ruach. He learned that from the Rambam. And so he was zeicha to be the person, the shliach in this world, to publish that fantastic edition of the Rambam. This is the day that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. And so it's an oasis in this midbar, this avelus of not being Noye Kavod Zelazeh. Rabbi Akiva is teaching us tonight again, V'ahavta l'reacha kamecha zeh klal gadol b'Torah. Chap this. And us, by having avelus throughout the entire sphera, we're basically being mechaper for that fault of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, that they did not understand this. But when we feel tsar for other people, when we're mamluch other people, then we get Rabbi Akiva's teaching of Yahaft L'Recha Kamech Ezek Kal Gadu Batayra. Tonight should have been a night of celebration. It should have been a night to understand the second pshat about Himlachtos Chaveirecha. And Amir Tzashem, we should take this vard and live with it. To be mamluch one another, never look at another person down. Always look up at every single person. Then you'll be amazing throughout your life. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a different cheshbon for us tonight. The hard way of understanding the Ahavta L'Recha Kamecha, the mashal of Shlomo HaMelech with the two heads. And if we're able tonight to feel the tsar, that Klal Yisrael as a nation and the Yechidim as Yechidim are feeling as we speak, right now, in real time, that's a quicker way of being able to mekayim v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. I feel your pain. If I feel your pain, then I'm one with you. I'm like you. I love you like myself. It's Hashem, we should take this Lag BaOmer and never forget it. Never forget the feelings of tsar that we have for another yid or many other yidden as we speak. And also to build upon that in a positive sense, not just in the negative tsar, but when things are good again, Amir Tzashem, we should be able to look at each other and be mamlech each other as a melech, love each other, respect each other, come together, and then we'll be ready for Shavuos, ki ish echad b'lev echad.